Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and start in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful, wonderful morning. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here live and each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you that for their lives. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. This morning, as we go to study your word, we thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take forth the word that we hear and that we'll go share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father, we thank you we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father God, we thank you also for that anointing that's present this morning, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us in an instant. We thank you that that anointing is here and it is working in our lives. And Father God, we just thank you for mom and dad, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. We thank you for their lives and their commitment to this church. And we thank you as they take some time off for just helping them, renewing their strength. And we thank you for everything that you're doing in their life. Father God, we thank you for everything that you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not sure about you, but I'm doing awesome this morning. One of my favorite mornings. I got an extra hour of sleep. I'm not normally a morning person, but actually woke up earlier than I normally do. Now, I did it right this year. Usually when you get an extra hour of sleep, I just stay up an extra hour. But this year I went to bed early. I was tired. And so I'm feeling really good. Just want to remind you guys, come back tonight. I'm here, Jeff Bardell. I mean, just a wonderful testimony of how God has used him mightily, after a tragic accident, but praise God, he was able to use him mightily, and just a wonderful, wonderful testimony that you'll hear. And I said, many lives have been changed because of his life and ministry. Amen? Amen. Well, as you notice, today is Communion Sunday. Amen. Awesome time to just honor what Jesus Christ has done for us. And yesterday, we always take communion at the men's conference. I want to say we had a wonderful men's conference. Just incredible speakers, just a great time. And I know many men have, thanked us for just having the conference. But, it's our pleasure. I mean, that's just, it was just a joy. But yesterday, as we were taking communion, Dad pointed out that whenever we take communion, we remember Jesus, amen. I mean, that's what we do. We remember his life, his death, and his resurrection. It's a remembrance service. So every time we take communion, we remember. We remember him. But I was just thinking about remembering him. And sometimes, whenever we take communion, we focus more on his death and his resurrection. But Jesus came to this earth and lived life to show us an example on how to live. And so we're going to talk today about his example that he showed us how to live here and that we should do likewise. I want to start out in John 3:16 because, John 3:16 tells us what his purpose was to even come to the earth. John 3:16 says from the New King James, and if you any of you want to know, the very first memory verse I ever remembered was John 3:16. Back in Sunday school a long time ago. Anyway, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Now, really what the reason Jesus came is because God loved the world. And Jesus came to show God's love to the world by loving the world. It goes on to say, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the same in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So remember that Jesus came to save the world. And sometimes, you know, as time's gone on, it seems that some Christians think that Jesus only came to save the church. But Jesus came to save the world. And the world, you know, the Bible says that he didn't come to condemn the world, he came to save the world. Many Christians today seem like they're trying to condemn the world. But what the Bible says is that if they don't believe in Jesus, they're condemned already. So don't rub it in. So don't rub it in. But you realize that if we condemn people, it's, first of all, condemning people, people don't think that we do love them if we condemn them. Secondly, when you condemn somebody, you really don't really have, you know, after that point, it's really hard to have any influence in someone's life. And in all reality, that we, well, actually, you know, let's go to my next scripture before I even say what I'm going to say, because then I'm going to step on my next scripture, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1 says this. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, the Bible says to be imitators of God, but basically, you know, the way we be imitators of God is to be imitators of Christ. To be like Christ. Because Jesus said, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Remember, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to show his love to the world, not to condemn the world, but to show forth love to the world. And that's what, and so we, you know, it actually bothers me a lot of times, you know, because the trend, you know, in life now is not to say you're a Christian, to say you're a follower of Christ. And that is true, you know, in some respects, but I'm not just a follower of Christ, I'm an imitator of Christ. And I think that more people should quit trying to be a follower and start being an imitator. Because followers usually always don't do what's right, they just kind of listen, all right? But imitators do what Christ did. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. I didn't tell them this, but I'm going to, because I was just reading it right when I sat down right here. It says this, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. In everything you do, imitate God. It goes on to say, because you are his, your children. The reason we imitate God, because we are made in the image of God. We're a child of God. So we should be an imitator of God. Well, how do you be an imitator of God? You live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And, you know, I believe that, yes, we do take communion, you know, time to time. And yes, it is a memorial to Jesus and what he's done for us. But also another memorial should be our life all the time. Your life should be a memorial to what Jesus has done for you. Because he's done so much. You know, and he loves you, and it's our responsibility, but because you understand that the Spirit of the living God now dwells on the inside of you. Jesus dwells on the inside of you. And so if he dwells there, then you should let him come out sometimes. You know, we're going through a time that, you know, that sometimes, I mean, I know a lot of folks now who have actually got off Facebook because they're just tired of Christians griping about everything. You know, and that's not being an imitator of Christ. I believe that if Christ had Facebook, that he would just talk about how much he loves everybody all the time. I don't believe he'd be arguing with people all the time. And, Do you realize it is interesting, and one of our speakers pointed out this weekend, that Mike Caminiti actually, he said that that the only people that Jesus actually had problems with was the religious folks. He didn't have problems with the sinners. In fact, the sinners all came to him, and they all want to hang out with him. But you know what? Even though he had problems with the religious folks, he still loved them. He wasn't mean and rude, griping at them. He just tried to show forth his love to the world. But the way that Jesus shows forth his love to the world today is by you showing forth your love to the world. But you know, I've thought many times long and hard that if I have, you know, I'm 49 years old, almost 50. We're going to have my big celebration of my 50th birthday in July, camp meeting. I'll be 50. But if I've made it 50 years and somehow never accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I don't know that I would today. Because I watch Christians' lives and I wonder, you know, do I really want to be like those people? All they do is gripe and complain. You know, some people supposedly are out witnessing and all they're doing is telling everyone they're going to hell. It might be true. I'm not saying what they say is not true, but it's not love. The Bible says love never fails. Love never fails. All right, let's go back to Jesus' life on the earth, and let's look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus told us what the greatest commandments are in Matthew 22, verse number 36, reading from the New King James. It says this, a young man asked Jesus, said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And you know, that was the commandment that he expected to hear. You know, I call that the no duh commandment. I mean, you know, if you are a Christian, if you're a child of God, then obviously you should love God with all your soul, all your mind, and all your heart. And if you don't, that's an issue. And I believe that most Christians do not really fall short in that commandment. I think most Christians, you know, do that commandment pretty good. But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't stop there where most people thought he would stop. He goes on to say, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then he goes on to say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's a pretty big deal. Now, what he said was, the second commandment is like the first. Meaning, if you can't love one another, I'm not sure you can love God. You know, now, did anyone go to school here? Anyone go to school? All right, about 60% of you actually went to school. That's more than read the Old Testament, though, so that's pretty good. You know, I believe that most of you went to school. And when you went to school, you know, no matter what grade, you probably had a thing called a test. All right? Now, do you realize if you get half the questions wrong on the test, you get a 50? All right? Do you realize a 50 is an F? It's flunking. It's failing. You know, it means that you were a failure on that test. Not a failure in life, but a failure on that test. All right, do you realize that there are a lot of Christians that are keeping one command out of two? Do you realize one command out of two means you are failing? Now, in this situation, you're failing life because you're not living the life that God intended for you to live. You're not following the example of Jesus to love. You know, and I've heard a lot of Christians tell me, said, "Man, I just have trouble in my love walk." And I'm like, "But why? Well, people make me so mad." Well, that sounds like that's your issue. You know, Because, you know, Jesus didn't get mad at people. Now remember, the Bible says the love of God is set abroad in your heart. So what do you have to do? You have to let it out. When people try to make you mad, what you need to do is you put on the mind of Christ. Don't let them make you mad. You know, that's when you need to pull out your coffee mug, you know, your WWJD coffee mug. You know, the one you had in the 90s there. Pull that out and actually be a doer of God's word. We talk about being a doer of God's word, but a lot of times we're not. Now, I don't want to, you know, there is no condemnation if those are in Christ. Now, there are some times that we mess up, all right? There's going to be some times you mess up, you know. But for the most part, you should be nice to people. You should love people. Because that's what Jesus gave us a command to. Now, and notice that, you know, it's interesting how he says this. He says, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you understand, this is the selfie generation here. Take pictures. I mean, there are some people that take pictures of themselves every day. You know, and the Bible talks about in the last days, there should be people should be lovers of themselves. You know, and I'm not giving up, you know. If you want to take a selfie of yourself, I'm more than happy, because you know what? If you are selfish, then you must love people a lot. If you love yourself a lot, you must really love people. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and most people, they don't do that. They love themselves, but they don't love their neighbor. And they say, well, you know, how hard is it to love a couple people who live down the street from me? But over in Luke, whenever they ask, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus gave us a Good Samaritan story. Your neighbor is, in essence, a neighbor is someone who you don't even really like. But you love them anyhow. You love people that the world tells you not to like. Because that's what Jesus did. He came to love the world. In spite of their issues, in spite of their problems, in spite of their rhetoric. And I believe at no other time in history do we need people to start loving people. You know, we live in a divided nation right now. But you know what? I believe if we would start being Christians instead of divided on whatever our party line is, if we start loving one another, but you know, interesting part about it, and I thought about this a lot. I mean, you know, if people in a church can't even love one another, how can you love the world? You know, and you see it in churches all the time. You know, hopefully we don't have as big a problem in our church, but I know some churches, I mean, you know, you have some people sit on this side, some people sit on that side because they can't sit together because they don't even like each other. The Bible says not to like each other, it says to love each other as much as you love yourself. Now that is the problem, I know, as I begin to notice, is that we also have a nation that doesn't love themselves. A nation that's depressed, a nation that has some emotional issues, and if you can't love yourself, you can't love anybody else. You know, and so the first thing you need to do is to love yourself. Actually, I don't know if some of you, I'm a child of the 80s, and the great Whitney Houston had a song. So the greatest love of all is inside of you. Talking about learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. We need to learn to love ourselves. You know what? Because you're made in the image of God. And how can you not love yourself? If you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you should love yourself. The problem is you need to put your mind under, put your thoughts under, and start thinking, you know, his thoughts. You know, because we have been redeemed. We have been set free. And I don't care what you've done. I mean, that's all been done away with. It's interesting, you know, I know my grandfather says, you know, you ask for forgiveness and the Lord won't remember your sin anymore. Unfortunately, people will. And that's the issue. But if you're one of those people who will, then that's a problem. You know, because the love of God doesn't remember. Hey, you know, they've asked for forgiveness, you know, so I can't hold them accountable to that. You know, Paul had a past life. He messed up in his past life, but he's the one over in Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press ahead. I press forward. And I said yesterday in our conference, I said, you know, sometimes we need to forget the things that are behind, but also forget what you're going through right now. And start thinking about how good it is, how good your future is, how awesome it is. You know, an interesting part about it, once again, that Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. You know, everything is contingent on you loving one another. You know, many people like to quote Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. But you know what? That same Spirit's on the inside of you. All right? And you know, I know many of us, we focus in on him going out and on the power and, you know, and healing and setting people free. But the first thing that Jesus did was, it says that he went about doing good. He went about showing forth the love of God to a lost and dying and hurting world. And basically what Jesus says, go and do likewise. That's what he taught his disciples, what was to go and you know, do what I did. Just be nice. Just love people. You know, his ultimate love comes when he was hanging on the cross. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. And there's going to be some people in life that are going to be rude and mean to you. And you're going to have to say, Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing. Instead of getting mad at them, just forgive them. You know, the Bible doesn't say only love people who love you. In fact, the Bible talks about praying for people that despitefully use you. You know, it talks about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, not doing unto them what they do to you. And just because somebody else is mean and rude doesn't mean that you have to be mean and rude back. Remember, two wrongs don't make a right. You know, many people say, well, you know, it's my heritage. I mean, I did the 23andMe thing and found out that, you know, that I'm Italian, or I'm this, or I'm that. And, you know, I've heard many people give excuses. Well, you know, I'm German, I'm Irish, I mean, whatever. You know, just, you know, people have tempers over there. That's an excuse. You know, and I found out that most people, I mean, are not 100% anything. They're only part this, part that. And then the people find out they thought they were this, and they're not even anywhere of that. And also, too, I found out and heard that those tests haven't been perfected yet, so, you know, they might not even be right. But I can tell you what is right is when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become 100% Christ. And your Christian heritage doesn't hate people, doesn't get mad at people. And if you put the mind of Christ on, you can't give anyone a piece of your mind unless it's good. You know, no, here's the thing. Like I said, there are some times that we're going to mess up and be mean or whatever. Then, you know, then we need to be quick to forgive and quick to repent. Say, you know what, I'm sorry. I mean, even if you're in the middle of an argument, I mean, I've actually had times I've been in the middle of an argument and just stopped and said, you know, I'm sorry. Even if it wasn't even my fault. Because it was my fault when I started coming back the same way they were coming at me. So what I started doing is making excuses for other people. Make excuses, you don't get as mad. You're like, well, you know, if I had their life, I might be like they are. All right. John chapter 13. I got to hurry. We got communion to take. John chapter 13, verse number 34. Once again, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So many times I wonder, you know, as people watch you in your daily life, do they know you're one of his disciples? Because the Bible says one of the true tests to know that someone is one of my disciples is if they have love one for another. If they care about each other. That's a true test. Once again, many people, and I'm not trying to put condemnation on anybody, many people are flunking their tests. And the reason they are, because they aren't being who they are in Christ Jesus. They're trying to be themselves. Quit being yourself and be like him. I mean, that's why we're celebrating his life. We're celebrating, you know, because of Jesus, we can love one another. Because of Jesus, we have been set free. Because of Jesus, we can have eternal life. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, 8 says this. Owe no one anything except to love one another. This is not a financial scripture. It's all about love. We don't owe anybody anything except for love. It goes on to say, "For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, are all summed up in the saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." If you love one another, you're going to fulfill all the laws. That's why Jesus only gave us, there's only two laws that we have to fulfill. The law of love. And if we do that, we're going to fulfill all the other ones. Because we're not going to kill people we love. We're not going to steal from people we love. We're not going to covet things from people we love. So all we have to do is love. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't do that. Love one another. And you know, because people are trying to love in their own strength. There's going to be times that it's not easy to love people. But, you know, understand, hurting people say hurtful things. They hurt other people. And so a lot of times people lash out at you, and, you know, it's easy. If you'll start seeing them like Christ sees them, understand that they're just hurting, it's easy not to fight back. It's easy not, you know, not to get mad. You know, and that's why sometimes, you know, the best thing to do is walk out of the room. Gather your composure. Put your mind under. Get the mind of Christ. Then walk back in the room. You know, if you have, you know, the thing is, I'm trying to tell you right now is to quit being yourself and start being him. You know, that's being an imitator of Christ. And that's the ultimate thing. I mean, you know, I'm sure Jesus really likes it that we remember him and we take these communion elements. But you know what? He really likes it a whole lot more if you'll just be like him. You know, if you'll be what we call a doer of God's word. And if you read, you know, all through the New Testament, there's many scriptures that talk about loving one and loving one another. It's a fulfillment of the law. But it's a fulfillment of Jesus' law, not Moses' law. Ultimately, that's what Jesus did, is he came to the earth to love everyone. And I want to point out that he came to the earth to love the world. You know, there are many people that are not doing the Christian thing. You know, why would you get mad at them? I mean, they're not a Christian. You shouldn't hold them to your same standards anyway. Amen. And even if they are, you know, really, ultimately, we're not there to judge. That's between them and God. We're there to love them in spite of their issues because God loves us in spite of ours. To be a doer of God's word is to love people in spite of their issues. Love people in spite of what they do. You know, we love them anyhow. Romans 12, 9, and Siri's trying to talk to me. It's happened a lot. When I start preaching, Siri wants to butt in and talk to me. Romans 12, 9, New Living Translation says this: don't just pretend to love others, really love them. You know, it's interesting that you know, there are a lot of people that pretend to love. But being an imitator of Christ, being a doer of God's word, is to really love people. Don't just pretend. You know, don't just do the Christian thing. It says, you know, hate what is wrong, hold tight to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Anyway, it goes on the onward. You know, I'm not going to continue, but I wanted to read that one part. You know, don't just pretend to love others, but really do it. You know, and I don't know, just yesterday, it just really hit me when I'm talking to, you know, thinking about communion being a memorial to Christ. You know, I started thinking about, well, every day is a memorial to Christ by doing his word. And the main thing he came to do was to love. To show forth God's love. Now ultimately, I know that the love is going to ultimately get us eternal life. But, you know, he spent many times telling his disciples and other folks that you know, just love one another. You know, and some people said, well, I just have trouble. Remember, Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength. Jesus will give you the strength to love one another. You know, and like I pointed out yesterday, it doesn't say you will do all things. It says you can. You have the ability. You have the ability to love. And in fact, I'll leave you with this. Remember Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you? And that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's the peace that passes all understanding. Do you realize that one of God's greatest gifts he gave you was the ability to love? And if we do love, then people will know that we are a follower of Christ, we're an imitator of Christ, that we are one of his disciples. If we don't love one another, people wonder who we are. Who are you? I mean, not loving one another is just like everybody else. So I want to encourage you, don't just take communion and remember Jesus, but I want to challenge you to love one another. You know, and some of you who had trouble with your love walk, I want to challenge you to put your mind under and put on the mind of Christ. And one of the best ways that you can really honor Christ and remember him is to follow after his teachings and to love one another. In spite of their issues, in spite of their problems, in spite of what they say, just be a doer of God's word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for just this quick little message on how to love each other and how to be nice to each other. And Father God, help us to fulfill your love to this generation, Father. Help us to be, you know, an example of a true Christian by showing forth your love to a lost and dying and hurting world. And Father God, we thank you the next time that some of us have an opportunity to either show forth hate and resentment or to show forth love, that we'll put our own mind under, we'll put our own body under, and we'll have the mind of Christ, and we'll be able to show forth God's love even when people are being hateful and rude toward us. We just thank you, Father, to just help us in our love walk. Help us to be the kind of Christian that we should be, Father. And we just thank you for that. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here and does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so they can't love one another because they don't have the love shed abroad in their heart. If anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus, that this morning that they will make him their Lord and Savior. Or maybe someone's here this morning and says, Craig, one time I followed after Jesus, has followed after what he said, but I've turned my back and I went away and I want to come back home. If that's you, if you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I've never been saved and I want to be this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life, you know, a lot of people come to church, but sometimes they never get saved. You know, you can live in a garage, doesn't make you a car. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to become a Christian. So if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here this morning and say, Craig, I've been saved before, but I haven't been walking forth in God's love. And I haven't been being the kind of Christian I need to be. And I want to come back home. I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. We want to give you a chance. Amen. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you right now. If anyone is here that does not know your son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, we thank you for laborers coming across their path daily. Daily. And we thank you that they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen.